Amen. You may be seated. So last week we talked about Jesus calling disciples. He called them then, he calls them today. Then after Jesus starts his ministry and after he calls disciples, he is rejected. And, you know, I said he called disciples then, he calls disciples today. He was rejected then, he's rejected today. There is no name in the world that you can say that stirs more love, that stirs more hate than the name of Jesus. It stirs hate because people hate the name if they reject him. And so, I don't know, it just struck me that he was rejected then, he's rejected today. There will be people who will reject him forever. There will be people who will accept him forever. So here he is going, he's with some Jewish people, and the scripture says, then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, we know when he received the power of the Spirit, because we talked about that a few weeks ago, when he was baptized by John the Baptist, it said the Spirit of God descended upon Jesus like a dove, and the Spirit led him to the wilderness. We talked about that a couple weeks ago, where he was tempted. Are we still tempted today? Yes. God knows exactly, or I mean, Satan knows exactly what your temptation is. Some of you, those little ads can pop up on the computer for click here, and it's got a girl in a bikini. And some of you have no problem. That's not tempting at all. And other people, that's exactly what it takes to get you to go here and here and here and down that slippery slope. So he knows what your temptations are. That's why we don't judge other people when they fall into temptation and we say, well, we'd never be tempted by that. Yeah, we've got ours. You've got yours, right? If you don't think you have yours, then pride might be one of yours. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him, and found the place where it was written. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. So you understand what's going on. Jesus is reading in the temple, or in the synagogue. At that time, it would have been like us meeting in the church. Jesus is meeting there, and he stands up to read scripture. They give him the scroll with Isaiah written on it. And of course, back then, they didn't have books, but they had scrolls. And so he takes the scroll, and he reads this. So this is from Isaiah. There's one part of this that Isaiah has in it that this doesn't have. And I'll point that out to you in just a second. The Spirit, so that Jesus is reading this from a scroll. So we're reading what Jesus is reading. And he's reading this from the scroll. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. Do we still bring good news to the poor today? Absolutely. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. There's one part that's in Isaiah that Jesus doesn't, that's not included here, and that is about vengeance. Isn't that cool? Jesus isn't looking here, and God's not looking for vengeance. If he was, we would all be doomed. We are living in a time of grace right now. One day, that time of grace will be over. Today, as Christine sang, today is today, and today has opportunities that perhaps yesterday didn't, and perhaps tomorrow won't. But today we live in grace. And he rolled up the scroll, and he gave it back to the attendants, and he sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself,' and you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we have learned that you did at Capernaum.'" And he said, "Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows," and so they're okay with him up to this point. They were amazed, they loved him, and so now he's going to really tick them off. He says, "The truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and then there was a severe famine over all the land." Okay, just briefly, back in Kings, there was a prophet named Elisha. There was a famine for 3.5 years. Elisha was one of God's servants, and so God was going to take care of Elisha. So God sent Elisha to this woman in Sidon, S-I-D-O-N. She was a Sidonite, and she wasn't a Jewish person, so she was a Gentile. A Gentile was anybody who wasn't a Jewish person. The Jewish people thought that they were exclusively God's favorite people. They thought that God loved them, hated everybody else. There's a writer named Anne Lamott, and she said one time, "You know that you've made Jesus into your own image when he hates the same people you hate." Isn't that good? Well, Jesus hates those, you know, the Westboro Baptist Church people with their signs. God hates these people or these people. You know you've made God into your own image when he hates the same people you hate. So, the Jewish people, so what happened is, Jesus is saying, remember that time when God sent Elisha to be saved by a woman? And he didn't send her to be saved by a Jewish woman. He sent her to be saved by a woman from Sidon. And they don't like hearing that. It's like the story of the Good Samaritan. They don't like hearing that because they hate Samaritans, so God hates Samaritans. So Jesus says, Elijah was sent to none of them except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also, so now they're starting to get really mad because he's saying that God loves and will use anybody. And so now he's going to take it a step further. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. And in 2 Kings chapter 5, there's this story of this general. He's with the competing army. He's the bad guy, and he's got leprosy, and most of you probably know that's a horrible skin disease that they were very contagious. And so this commander of the other opposing army, he's got leprosy, and we'll let Jesus tell you. That's all he had to say about that. So, Naaman, there's this little girl, and she says to one of Naaman's people who takes care of Naaman. Naaman is the commander of the other army. This little girl says, "Boy, it's a shame that you don't know this prophet Elisha, because he could heal you." And so they go and see him, and he ends up dipping in the river, and he's healed of leprosy. So Jesus says, of all the people who had leprosy, God healed this guy Naaman, who was not Jewish, who was a Gentile, who was a commander of another army. And so when they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of town, and led him to the brow of a hill on which their town was built, so that they might throw him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. May God add his blessing to the reading and the hearing of his holy word. And all God's people said, Amen. I remember watching this show one time. You know Buddy the Cake Boss? The Cake Boss? Some of you have no clue who it is. But this guy, and he has a bakery, and it's in New Jersey, Hoboken. It's in Hoboken, New Jersey. And it's just a sort of a reality TV show about his bakery, and they make cakes, and they go out, and so they had a little spin-off of this show. He's an Italian guy, and he's really passionate, and it's a funny show. And so it was on the Food Network, I think, or TLC, I don't remember. So they get a spin-off of this bakery show, and he goes in to bakeries that are struggling, bakeries that are in debt, bakeries that are going to go out of business. He goes into these bakeries and he tries to help them. Give them some new recipes. Give them some fresh ideas. If their van's broken down, he'll get somebody to, he gets them a new van. He'll get them new kitchen stuff. He remodels their bakery. And I remember this one episode. Diane's heard me say this several times. This is one of my favorite episodes of any show because it's just so like Jesus. This one guy who owned this one bakery, Buddy comes in and he says, "Your food's no good." I don't remember what he said, but he says, "Your food's no good. Your equipment's broke. This place is not appealing at all." And he's telling him all this tough stuff to hear, right? If you own a bakery, if someone comes into the food pantry and they tell you everything you're doing wrong, it hurts your feelings, right? You start getting a little upset. And so this guy, he said, I remember this so well, he said, "He makes me so mad I just want to throw him in the oven." People start to, some of the shows, they'll say, "I don't know if we're going to let him stay here or not. We might just throw him out right now." Sometimes it's really hard to hear the truth, isn't it? Isn't it really hard to hear the truth? And what Jesus is doing here, and here's the funny thing about that show, before I leave that little illustration, is in the end, what do you think happened? In the end, the guy was happy. In the end, business, you know, then they will go back and they'll say, in the last 6 months or in the last 3 months, and business is then good. He got his restaurant, his bakery got a makeover. He got new equipment. If you're not willing to hear the truth, there's not much hope of recovery. There's not much hope of forgiveness. There's not much hope of redemption. If a church, you know, sometimes you go in a church and the preacher will say, "You're all a bunch of sinners." And people get really upset. It's true. You are. And the people said, "Amen. I am too. I'm not talking to you as one who's not. I'm talking to you as one who am. I am. I still am." But if you're not willing to hear that truth, there's not much hope for you. Amen? If I'm not willing to hear that truth, there's not much hope for me. So these people, they hear the truth that God loves other people too. Does God have an affinity for the Jewish people? Yes, He does. But does He have an affinity for you too? Yes. He has an affinity. We have a friend who's in Africa right now, in Mozambique. And she posted a picture, because they're like 8 hours ahead of us or something. We had this one kid from Africa who called us a lot. His name was Ebenezer, and we met him in Ghana. And he would always call us like at 2 o'clock in the morning, because it was 10 o'clock there. So we have a friend who's already been to church in Africa today, and she posted this picture, and she posted a bunch of pictures, and God loves those people. That's why we are to go there and tell them about. She posted a really funny thing this morning too. She said that one of the someone said, "Would you guys be willing to use stuff from churches that closed?" And they said, "Churches that closed? What does that mean?" You see, churches aren't closing in Africa. They're doing pretty well. So what is the truth that you need to hear? Gosh, I forgot to bring my sermon in this morning. I better go get it so I can preach it. What's the truth you need to hear? We all need to hear different parts of the truth. Some of you need to hear that, yes, God does love you, no matter what you've done. Some of you, you know, the president said last week about your high horse. Yeah, I'm sure if you've watched any news, he mentioned your high horse. That part I agree with. The church can tend to sit on a high horse and think we're better than others. Each one of us is only saved by God's grace. It's God's grace. It's not because you're so awesome and somebody else isn't. I'm a preacher by God's grace. I never would have picked me. Of all the people I know, I never would have picked me. But God did. And here I am. And the thing is, when it comes to being His and accepting Him and not rejecting Him, He chooses everybody. He doesn't reject anybody. What we're reminded of here is, we reject Him. If you're in the valley, as Rodney talked about the past couple weeks, and a sad time, and for those of you who don't know, Rodney's brother passed away a couple weeks ago. And so, if you're going through a rough time and Jesus isn't there, it's not Him, it's you, because He's there. When you were in the hospital with Bob, Jesus was there. When you're in the valley, He's there. If you don't find Him and can't see Him, it's you. And you know who He came to save? Sinners. The lost. He came to save sinners. He didn't come to save the righteous. The righteous don't need a Savior. Except that there are none righteous, right? All right, since I don't really know how I was going to close, let me close with a prayer. God, I thank You so much for this story of Jesus being rejected, of Him making people so mad that they wanted to throw Him off the cliff. And I thank You that nearly 2,000 years later, that there are still people who cannot stand to hear what Jesus says. They cannot even stand the name of Jesus. Yet there are others, Lord, who love the name of Jesus. There are others who admit their need for a Savior, There are others, and many of us in this room who don't want to reject Jesus, but want to accept Him, but we're worried that He won't accept us. And as He taught in the synagogue that day, that God loves and God will use anyone, we thank You for that reminder today. And I pray for those who find themselves unacceptable here today. God, I pray that You would help them to know that they're right where they need to be, that they are unacceptable to everyone but You, and that You will accept anyone. You will accept the poor. You will accept captives. You will accept prisoners. You will accept the hungry, the lame, the lepers. And You will change them. And if those people here wonder how I know that because You have changed me. So I give You thanks and praise for that, for the hope that comes through Jesus Christ when we give our lives to Him. And for those many in this room, Lord, who would call themselves Yours, I pray that we would be the ones then to proclaim the name of Jesus. That we would be the ones to tell people they can be freed. That we would be the ones who would minister to the poor. And by doing so, we would show them the hope of Jesus. So we give You thanks and praise for the many ways that You work and the many ways that You work in us. We pray this and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.